Hello and welcome to Radio Prague International with me, Daniela Lazarová.
And me, Tom McEnroe. Well,
thanks for joining us on what is a very special day for Radio Prague International. We're celebrating our 85th birthday. And today we're going to take a break from our regular programme lineup and offer you a half hour devoted solely to our station, what it sounded like over the years, a look at some of the milestones in our history, what we do at present, and some well wishes from our listeners, of course.
We're going to kick off today's show with a special documentary put together by none other than the former editor-in-chief of Radio Prague International and Czech radio archive expert David Vaughan. He has created a feature that maps out the history of our station all the way back from its founding in 1936. You're going to hear various people speaking. I believe there's even an appeal to Albert Einstein there. So without further ado, here it is.
Over the next 15 minutes, we're going to be delving into the archives, where we can find recordings in English, going right back to our beginnings. Some of the extracts we're going to be hearing today haven't been aired for over half a century. They capture some of the most interesting and dramatic moments in Radio Prague's history.
Hello, hello. Prague, Czechoslovakia calling. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
That's Radio Prague back in 1937, although to be quite precise, the name Radio Prague hadn't actually been adopted yet. It was just a few months after Czechoslovakia had started broadcasting to the world. With Nazi Germany breathing down Czechoslovakia's neck, the broadcast served an important propaganda role. But it wasn't just about politics. The Post and Telegraph Minister, Alois Tuchny, said that the new broadcasts would open our culture to the world and show how much our country could offer for the blossoming and general education of humanity. Grand words indeed.
The Prague National Theatre gave the first performance of a play by Karel Čapek a fortnight ago. Although he has distinguished himself in almost all types of dramatic works, this outstanding Czechoslovak author is perhaps best known in England by his utopian drama, Are You Are, in which, it will be remembered, he created the mechanical man, the robot. His play enjoyed triumph after triumph throughout the world.
That was one of our pre-war announcers, Oswald Bambara, who worked in the international broadcasts from 1936 to 1939. One of the most intriguing broadcasting moments in those early days was an experiment carried out on Christmas Eve, 1937. A live radio bridge was created across the Atlantic to America, sending a message of goodwill to Albert Einstein and the great Indian poet Rabindranath Tagore. In fact, the lines are pretty crackly, and to be quite honest, Professor Einstein's reply was all but incomprehensible, but it was a little moment of radio history.
Dr. František Křižík is sending a message of goodwill to Professor Albert Einstein. This message will be rendered into English by Professor Matoušek of the Charles University of Prague.
Professor Einstein, we are so far from each other, and yet so near. It is science that has shortened all distances. During the 90 years of my life, I have been the witness of the greatest advances in modern science. I saw its beginning, and I still remember those early days of Thomas Alva Edison. It entitles me to believe in further progress and in a happy future for humanity.
For all the reassurance of this message of goodwill, this was a time when Central Europe was looking increasingly unstable. Nazi Germany's propaganda chief, Josef Goebbels, was a brilliant manipulator and was very modern in his understanding of how radio could be used to mould public opinion, and not just at home in Germany, but also internationally. Radio Prague struggled to counter this propaganda.
Once again tonight we must perform the distasteful task of refuting further invented reports broadcast by the German wireless station. It is not true that the rectors and deans of the German universities in Prague were forced, at the point of the gun, a signed declaration of loyalty to the state.
And here is the English politician and journalist Edgar Young in one of our broadcasts from February 1937.
It is unfortunate that Czechoslovakia is known to most foreigners largely, if not entirely, through the propaganda of her enemies. The Czechoslovaks are an excessively modest people. They are only now beginning to realize the dangerous effects of the new technique of propaganda, which consists in telling lies and half-truths with such conviction and consistency that even the victims begin to wonder what is really the truth. They have yet to devise an effective counter to it, and in the meanwhile, it would be a good thing if more foreigners were to visit the Republic to see for themselves how things are and to tell their countrymen the plain truth.
Tragically, his warnings went unheeded. At the end of September 1938, huge tracts of Czechoslovakia were ceded to Germany, Hungary and Poland. The British journalist John Griffin was the BBC Prague correspondent at the time, and here he is on a Radio Prague broadcast from November 1938.
Prague is a sad place now, but not a dangerous place, not even an uncomfortable one. Food here is plentiful and good as usual. Prices are so far pretty normal. There is not, so far, a shortage of coal, and the electric light has not been cut off. Above all, there is not a sign of Jew baiting or of any other chauvinistic outburst. What I have found in wandering about and talking to all sorts of people is this. Everyone is determined to try and rebuild some sort of a tolerable Czechoslovakia, even though the change of frontiers has dealt frightful blows to trade, and many people expect as much as 1 million unemployed during the winter.
It was only a few weeks after this broadcast that the Nazis marched into what was left of Czechoslovakia. Prague became an occupied city, and our English international broadcasts fell silent. Staff were sacked, and some, like the well-known pre-war announcer Zdenka Valu, perished in the Nazi death camps. But that's not the whole story of Radio Prague during the Nazi occupation. Our archive does include English recordings from the time. As the Prague uprising raged in the dying days of the war in May 1945, Czech patriots appealed, in English, on the airwaves, for help from the Allied armies.
Praha calling! The headquarters of Czechoslovak army, Praha calling! Calling the army of United States! Send quickly your tanks!
And an escaped Scottish prisoner of war, William Gregg, launched a passionate appeal.
Prague is in great danger. The Germans are attacking with tanks and planes. We are calling urgently our allies to help. Send immediately tanks and aircraft. Help us defend Prague. At present, we are broadcasting from the broadcasting station, and outside there is a battle raging.
After the war, in the years when Radio Prague was transformed into a station broadcasting Stalinist propaganda, archives of our broadcasts in English go strangely silent. Perhaps the reasons were of state secrecy. Perhaps the archives were later destroyed by those who maybe didn't want people to be reminded of their role in the events. Whatever the reasons, only fragments survive. Here, for example, is Radio Prague in Esperanto, a unique recording from the mid-1950s of the prologue to Dvořák's opera Rusalka.
Na jádo persistadas cel ideo, kaj sopirante cantas al la luno pri sia am al for estanta viro.
Esperanto, in fact, was introduced as far back as 1946 and seems to have survived for many years. Once we get into the 60s and the time of the political thaw, there are a few more English recordings surviving in the archives. In March 1963, Czechoslovak radio's correspondent in America, Karel Kinzel, interviewed Martin Luther King.
We still haven't got to one of the basic problems in our society, and that is that the Negro is still at the bottom of the economic ladder. He is still in a situation where he earns 50% less. The Negro family earns 50% less than the average white family. Now, as long as there's economic insecurity, there will be many social problems developing. And it seems to me that this is one of the great changes that must take place if we are to have genuine progress.
The voice of Martin Luther King. We've often spoken on Radio Prague about our station's role in the events of 1968, when the reforms of the Prague Spring were crushed by the Soviet-led invasion, beginning on the night from August the 20th to August the 21st. The radio building was one of the first to be occupied, and staff played a cat-and-mouse game with the Russians to keep our broadcasts on air, including improvised broadcasts from a villa in the Prague suburb of Nusle.
This is Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia, broadcasting continuously and bringing you late news bulletins and reports as we receive them of the situation here in occupied Czechoslovakia.
As the Soviets gradually consolidated their control over the country, many Radio Prague staff had to leave. But the invaders played a clever game. In the months after the invasion, they didn't launch huge political purges, and there was an illusion that things might get back to normal. Yet step by step, they tightened the screw. And by the time the first anniversary of the Soviet invasion came round in 1969, this is what Radio Prague was broadcasting, in language that became depressingly familiar in the years to come, praising riot police as they clamped down on any protests.
What is the result of all this? On the one hand, the sum is discouraging. 5 people dead, a number of wounded, material damage in the streets, and on public installations. On the other hand, the result is a failure for the forces that are openly hostile to socialism. The bulk of the population, the workers in the first place, could not be persuaded to stage a massive strike or some other national demonstration.
At that time, our colleague Olga Santova, whom many of you'll remember from more recent years, was working in Radio Prague's American section. It wasn't long before the process of so-called normalization caught up with her too. But just before she was sacked in 1970, she managed to interview a then youthful Cliff Richard, who was in Bratislava for an international music festival.
Mr. Richard, when I tried to get to you a little while ago, I nearly knocked over. How do you keep from getting knocked over by fans?
Well, I'm afraid I have to just be a little bit faster than they are.
Is it hard work?
No, not really, because they're very understanding here. In England, they pester you all the time for autographs. And unfortunately, I can see some of the fans looking at me through the window now. I would like to sign the autographs, but I just don't have the time at the moment.
And at the same event, Olga spoke to the legendary Josephine Baker.
What is the secret of keeping as young as you have?
What I don't know. Many people have said it's because of having so many children and young people around me that has made me, maybe more energetic. Not young, because life goes on and so does years. But maybe I'm a little less sluggish by having to run after my children.
In the 70s and 80s, Radio Prague continued in the services of the communist regime. It played its part in the Cold War, placing an ever-growing stress on the battle for hearts and minds in developing countries, particularly in Africa, where the two superpowers were battling to get the upper hand.
This is the African service of Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia, broadcasting in Swahili.
Hii ni idhaa ya Kiafrika ya Radio Prague, Czechoslovakia, ikitangaza katika lugha ya Kiswahili.
Unlike in 1968, Radio Prague played a more or less passive role in the events of the Velvet Revolution that brought down the communist regime, and unfortunately none of our English broadcasts from the time seem to have survived. In fact, for 3 months in early 1990, Radio Prague went off the air altogether. It was not long after then that I joined the station. At that time, for a couple of years, we were called Radio Czechoslovakia International. Luckily, these years have been a good deal less traumatic than many in the history of Radio Prague, but there has been drama. In the early 1990s, Czechs were shocked as they saw Yugoslavia dissolve into civil war. Thankfully, the split of Czechoslovakia at the beginning of 1993 saw none of the violence that so tragically accompanied the collapse of Yugoslavia. But it did have some unexpected and even slightly surreal consequences. Here is an extract from a report that I made not long after the split, when I travelled to the Czech-Slovak border.
And I'm now driving towards the
village of Sidonia from the Czech side, and it's right on the border. And in order to get into the village itself, you actually have to cross the border at the customs post, which I'm just approaching now, and then go back into the Czech Republic.
That's me, shortly after the split of Czechoslovakia in 1993, in the village of Sidonia. In these digital times, archiving our programmes has become much easier, and most of what Radio Prague, now Radio Prague International, has broadcast in the last 20 years can still be found on our website, radio.cz. Since the early 2000s, we have also made text versions of our broadcasts available. On top of that, most of the sound archive, going back all the way to before World War II, has now been digitized, making it a good deal easier to research in our archives than when I first started delving into the tens of thousands of quarter-inch tapes stored in the basement of the radio building at Vinohradská Street, number 12.
Well, many thanks to David for those gems from the Czech radio archives. And to pick up from there, right at the end, we heard his report about the breakup of Czechoslovakia. And of course, that affected us here at the radio as well, because before then, we were Radio Czechoslovakia International, reporting for the whole country. But it was actually us broadcasting from Prague, us providing most of the reports. There was an office in Bratislava that would send stuff to incorporate in the show, but we were broadcasting from Prague. So Slovakia had to set up its own international radio almost overnight, which they did very successfully, I have to say. So a big hi to our colleagues in Bratislava.
I have to confess that I think that is the first time that I ever heard Swahili being spoken, at least in the Czech Republic. Daniela, you have been here much longer than I have. What languages did we used to broadcast in?
It's incredible, isn't it, Swahili? But the fact is that at one point, the station was broadcasting in about 18 languages, among them Swedish and Arabic. Now, they were set up for propaganda purposes, of course, during the communist regime, and the station was huge at the time. Indeed, in 1989, it had about 360 employees. 4 years later, it was cut down to 50 because of a cut in finances, and now there are just around 37 of us. But language-wise, we have come back full circle because almost, 85 years ago, the station started out broadcasting music and news in English, German, French and Spanish. Well, we have Russian as well now. But what is really interesting to note is that at the very beginning, you had just one or two announcers servicing all the languages. So I think that was quite a challenge, and I really doubt there's anyone here who could manage that now.
On the other hand, I guess it is a good excuse to learn some more languages. David was just saying that when he started working here, it was called Radio Czechoslovakia International. I would just like to mention that since then it changed to Radio Prague, and it's now called Radio Prague International. What has changed perhaps even more so than our name perhaps is the technology that we have here. Am I right, Daniela?
Yes, indeed. It's completely transformed the way we work. In the late 80s, Radio Prague was still using reel-to-reel tapes and very heavy, bulky recording machines for work out in the field. And of course, editing on reel-to-reel was really something. It was something that today's editors would really find hard to imagine, because it was done on this huge machine the size of a cupboard, which had small scissors and scotch tape. So you would listen to the interview and you would cut the tape in the two places that you wanted to edit out the bit you didn't want. Of course, you could move it back or forward for sophisticated editing. You could do that, but then you ended up with all these bits of tape on the machine, and you had to remember what was on what tape so that you could put it all back together again. Incredible, really, and I think unthinkable now that we have this magic undo button that allows you to get away with murder and make mistakes, and you can do anything and everything with it.
Incredible. I'd really like to try editing on a reel, but definitely not with a deadline looming. That undo button has saved me countless of times, I can tell you. But yeah, things changed radically when our radio station went on the internet in 1994. I can recall seeing some rather awkward-looking photos here in our office with our colleagues looking hyper-modern behind huge 90s monitors. Since then, we have gone fully digital. We started using Dalit in the year 2000. And now, of course, as David said, you'll find all our programmes in text and sound on our webpage. That page also got a cosmetic makeover this year, by the way. There's also a lot about our history there and about the ways that you can listen to us. Of course, perhaps the easiest way you can do that is either on our website online or by subscribing to the Czech It in 30 Minutes podcast via your favourite app store.
Well, of course, we should also add that the arrival of the internet allowed us to reach listeners all over the world, not just where the shortwave transmitters reach. So that was a huge change. They could listen whenever at their convenience. And, of course, social networks completely change the way we communicate with listeners. We get very few letters these days. There used to be a letter department working with letters. Now we get very few of them. But we still get lots of emails. And one thing that amazingly is still here is QSL cards. Now, I think many people don't even know what they are today. There's something like postcards that we would send out to listeners for shortwave receptions. And shortwave enthusiasts collected them. Now, strangely enough, people are still asking to get them. So we've continued the practice, and we have series of QSL cards devoted to architecture or castles and chateaus and so on.
Yeah, I can tell you that QSL cards are especially popular among our Indian listeners. Speaking of our listeners, we should, of course, say a big thank you to all of you who have tuned in and those who read our articles, listen to our features, or follow us on social media. Actually, we sent out an offer for people to send in their recorded wishes, and quite a few came through from various corners of the world. Here are some of them.
Hello to you all at Radio Prague International, and a very happy 85th anniversary to you. I'm Nick Packham from Worthing in the UK. I started listening during the 2020 lockdown and quickly became addicted to your podcasts. I really enjoy hearing about your wonderful country, which one day I hope to visit. Anyway, all the best, and please keep up the great work.
Hello friends, I'm Nirmal Kumar from Vellore Town in India. Congratulations and my best wishes to Radio Prague International for the 85th anniversary celebration.
Hi, Mike in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and I've been listening to Radio Prague since about 1969. I first heard it on a 3-transistor regenerative receiver that I built myself. I like all the programs, but I'm especially fond of programs about Czech music and Czech food. Happy 85th birthday, and many more.
Wow, Mike, amazing that building your own receiver to listen to foreign stations. Anyway, a very big thank you for all the messages in audio that we received. We got so many of them from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, you name it, even well wishes from a DXS club in India. I'm afraid there's no time to play them all, but thank you so much for taking the trouble to record them and write.
Indeed, it really means a lot. Sometimes, you know, you're here speaking into the microphone and wonder if anyone's out there listening. And then you get all these lovely messages. There were also quite a few actually sent to us via our social media pages, especially on Facebook. So let me read some out. So we have listener Judita Meicher. She writes that she's originally from Brno in Moravia, but she moved to the US when she was 12 and hadn't learned much yet about her country of origin. She now lives in Los Angeles and loves learning about the Czech Republic, although she does not really like the name Czechia. Well, Judita, yes, we get a lot of comments from you about the use of the word Czechia in our articles. I confess I'm also not the biggest fan of the name, but it is the official name. It's even used by Google Maps now. One thing that is positive about it is that it makes writing a short headline far easier, I have to say. Daniela, we should make a poll asking which name, aside from Czech Republic, our listeners and readers most prefer.
I'm all for it. Constant, whoa, that name. And no prizes for guessing the outcome of that poll. What else do we have, Tom?
Well, I've got one here from Ivan Lebedev from St. Petersburg. He wishes us the happiest anniversary, and he says it's a great pity that the Russian section's webpage is blocked. For those of you who might not know, Russia blocked the web of our Russian language service earlier this year. I don't know how the situation has changed since then. Do you, Daniela?
Oh, it's all very sad, though possibly predictable. Czech Radio has protested against the move. Of course, it was all about an article posted 20 years ago, so you wonder why now. But anyway, the foreign ministry has protested as well. But given the state of Czech-Russian relations, which are currently at freezing point, it may take a while to get the site unblocked. So please be patient. Do we have time for any more messages?
Yeah, there's one more. So we've got a message from someone from three generations of listeners, okay? His name is David Wilson. He says, my granddad was the first in my family to listen to Radio Prague sometime in the middle of the 20th century. I've been listening since the early 1980s when I was very into shortwave listening. He would listen to Radio Prague, Radio Moscow, Swiss Radio International, Voice of America. There are whole loads of stations here. He says, too many great stations to name, but these were definitely my favourites. Well, of course, there were, and to a lesser degree still are, so many foreign language public broadcasters, and as far as I understand, we cooperate with some of them. Is that right, Daniela?
That's right. We have partnership programs with them, with Radio Romania International, Radio Canada International, Polish Radio, Swiss Info. And we have collaborated with them on programs in the past, such as a program called Insight Central Europe that listeners may remember. That was very popular. I'm afraid we don't have anything like that now, but we do have special series on topics that we think may be of interest to our listeners. So there are series on Czech books, Czech spas, Czech animated films, Czech made, which is all about what the Czech Republic or this country has given the world. And of course, we now also have podcasts, all of which can be found either on our website at radio.cz or on Apple and Android stores.
Yeah, speaking of podcasts and series, I think Ian Willoughby has a new episode coming up soon in his Czech Next Wave podcast series, which features interviews in English with leading Czech culture movers working from home or abroad. And then, of course, there's David Vaughan, who we've just been listening to for half of today's show. But hey, if you like what he does, and David really is an expert on Czech radio archives, he has actually even written at least one book using their resources. Well, he has a couple of podcasts out too. One is focused on Czech history and is called In Their Own Words. And the other is called No Night So Dark. It's a sort of docudrama slash radio play. Very interesting. Will there be anything else coming out in the future, Daniela?
Well, the Czech book series will continue. I'm afraid this Friday, we'll see the last episode of our Czech spa series. But we are planning a series on museums in the autumn and on Czech painters early next year. So that's something to look forward to.
Yeah, I'd also just like to say that we get a lot of positive feedback for our series on Facebook. We'd also like to thank you very much because we just breached 14,000 followers on Facebook. If you follow us on Facebook, then check out our page today because I recorded a special video tour of our studios, which comes out. You can finally see us, how we work, and not just listen to us. It's also likely that we'll have more videos coming out soon in the future.
Well, do please tell us how you like that video. We rather liked it ourselves, so I hope you enjoy it. And I'm afraid we're slowly running out of time.
Oh,
so,
no. I was just getting started.
Well, we have to leave it there. But, of course, our listeners will be able to find all the information that we talked about and, indeed, a lot of information on Radio Prague's history, going all the way back to 1936, what it was like during the war years, details about the fate of different announcers, even during the communist years, and then 89, of course, the turbulent years of the Velvet Revolution and later on. So it's all there on our webpage, very easy to remember, radio.cz. Also, a lot of interesting information about the Czech Republic itself, contact addresses and things. So do please check that out. Well, thanks for being with Radio Prague, and many thanks again for the many well wishes we got on our 85th birthday. Stay with us in the years to come.